and you may be seated. Well, today I ask the Lord to let me stick. You know, sometimes when you're ministering, you take a little side trip sometime, and sometimes you don't get to say whatever, everything you have to say. The Lord has shared with you, you know, in my outline that God gave me some things to talk about, and I ask the Lord, let me stick with my notes, because it's so much that I need to say concerning the apostolic. But under the understanding of the apostolic, I want to talk about the sovereignty of God's will. The sovereignty of God's will. That means God's will going to be done. Oh, boy, let me say this. Let me finish here. I want to say it nicely. God's will be done. It's not a bad thing what I'm saying. I'm going to say it like this. God's will be done with me or without me. And you put your name in the same place. You see, I remember years ago when Apostle, we had just moved to the new church. When I say new church, I'm talking about the new church down the street. It's the old World Life Christian Center. We just built the building, and he was telling me. He said a lot of time we are not God's first choice. And that stuck with me. He said, God wants to use somebody else, but they renege. And God had to choose someone else. And I caught a hold of that years ago. So a lot of time, we are not God's first choice. God, Saul wasn't God's first choice. You see, people wanted a king. But David was the ideal man for God. And David fulfilled what God wanted him to fulfill. But let apostle, through the apostolic government, searches the mysteries of the kingdom. Now listen to this word, to unleash the hidden mysteries. And that's what he's doing right now. You think he's on vacation? No, he's searching the hidden wisdom of God so he can unleash to us the revelation and the direction God wants us to go. And so he's never idle. If anybody can prove that, it's Brother Larry. And I worked around him many years. Never idle. Always seeking God. And I've never seen anybody like that before in my life. And it may be some other people somewhere else, but I've never seen a man more dedicated to God than Apostle Thompson all of my life. But he's searching the heavens right now, looking for the mysteries of the kingdom. The eyes of our understanding has to be enlightened to be able to listen to this. We've been praying Ephesians 1, right? Ephesians 1, 15 through 22, I think. The eyes of our understanding has to be enlightened to be able to, listen to this word, I almost told you underline it, but you ain't got it on you. That you may be able to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to carry out God's will in the earth realm. I'm going to read that one more time. Amen. The eyes of our understanding, spiritual understanding, has to be enlightened to be able to cooperate. See, we got to cooperate with spiritual things. So operate with the Holy Ghost to carry out God's will in the earth realm. God had called us to carry out his will in the earth realm. We know what Ephesians 1 and 17 said, the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. And we know it. Some of us can quote it by heart. Do you have it on the board there? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. You see that? See, we all have a calling. We all have a ministry. Apostle been drilling this in us, that we all have a ministry. You see it? The hope of his calling, what the riches of it, the glory of the inheritance in the saints. We've been praying those scriptures every week now. Matter of fact, Apostle Paul sent us a text on Thursday that prayer meeting will continue on New Year's Day. You know, I'm not going to say that. I'm sticking with my note. Even though, listen at this. Even though God is sovereign, we're talking about the sovereign will of God, right? Even though God is sovereign, he chooses not to exercise his sovereignty over our will. My goodness, that's a good statement there. See, it came for me. The Lord shared it with me. Even though God said he's sovereign, he chooses not to exercise his sovereignty over our will. That's powerful. God said, I respect your will. I'm going to leave your will alone. My good. See, because we all got a will. That's part of our soul. You see it? You see, your mind, your will, your emotion, that's in your soul. God respects our soul. God don't want to tamper with our soul, even though he created us. Even though he can, let me read the definition of sovereign, and then you're going to understand how precious that statement was I just made. Here's the definition of sovereign. I'm about to skip down a little bit, define it. Sovereign is supreme or higher than power. Authority, higher than power. Authority, higher than wisdom, higher than knowledge. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, superior to all others, and all things, seen and unseen. He's the chief. He has the right to exercise supreme power, justice, and dominion. I need to read that again. Sovereignty means supreme or the highest in power. That's who God is. So suppose God would have created us and dominated our will. Well, if he dominated our will, well, Jesus wouldn't even have to come on the cross. We could just went straight on into eternity. I mean, if you can all make us accept Christ and, you know, make us accept Christ, make us save, make us do this, make us tithe, make us pray, make us love. No, he chose not to do that because it will violate who he is. That part of the sovereignty of God. He created us and dare not tamper with our will. Isn't that awesome? Now watch this. Watch. Let's go back. Now, here's this phrase, and I got this phrase from Apostle. Holy Spirit, help me to navigate. Don't that sound familiar? Help me to navigate through this traffic. Now, see, apostles say things, and we don't understand it fully. I didn't, when he was talking about navigate through traffic, you know, I had to wrap my mind around that, and that's what I do when I listen. I try to be a good listener. Navigate through this traffic, and I begin to think about traffic. You know, there's all kind of traffic, that demonic forces, that traffic. That's AI, internet. That's traffic, false prophets, people saying things that God didn't say, You got to navigate through all that kind of traffic to try to find the truth. So let me read that statement again. Holy Spirit helping to navigate through this traffic. Number one, so I can hear the voice of God. See, I'm just saying what the apostles say. And then number two, to understand. You see, it's one thing to hear the voice of God and to hear his instruction, but you have to be able to have the capacity to understand. And a lot of time, I feel short. I'm speaking for me. I fall short sometimes because I don't understand things the first time. The first time I hear it, I don't understand it. I got to go over it in my heart, in my mind, and because I want to get a clear understanding, you know. I remember when I was on staff, Apostle would give us assignment, and when he would give me a specific assignment, I would ask questions, and because I want to make sure I hear him right, and I want to make sure I do it exactly like he wants it done. In other words, I want to understand because I got to see it first. He said, Ronald, can you build this? And then I got to know what he want me to build. I got to have an idea of what I'm trying to do. And now I got to understand. I got to see it first. And same thing with spiritual things. You got to see it first before you can understand it, before you can apply it, before you can use it. So Holy Spirit, help me navigate through this traffic so I can do what? Number one, hear the voice of God and then understand what the voice of God is telling me to do. And not just run off and do something that I'm not having clarity on. And then number three, obey the will of God for my life. You see, hear the voice of God, understand, and then being able to obey. You got to be able to have the willingness. You hear what I said? Got to have the willingness to obey. You see it? See that word willingness. That word willingness, let me stick to that word a little bit. See, willingness is has to do with your free will. Willingness. It's I don't know about you. You ever ask somebody, maybe one of your children, to do something for you and they do it, but they weren't so willing? It just don't feel good. You almost, don't worry about it, I don't worry. It just ain't the same. Or somebody, you know, you can't make nobody love you. They got to be willing to love you. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to force my will on nobody. If you don't do it out of your heart, I don't want it. Same way God is. God don't want it if it ain't in your heart to do it. Amen. Now, I asked a question. And I might go to the scripture to show you. Here's the question. I want to get it right. How do we put a value on our apostle? I thought, how can we put a value on him? Because the scripture, in Hebrews 8, they ought to be highly esteemed. We do that. We do honor our apostle. Highly esteemed. But I'm talking about a value. So turn with me right quick to 2 Samuel 18. I want to show you what these people thought about David. And I got to thinking about that. And I said, my God. That's the closest I can get to understand. I'm using that word again. That's the closest I can get to understanding what kind of value I put on my apostle. You see, you got to place value on things. If you don't place a value on something, it's not going to mean too much to you. You ever notice that? You can take your car and run it through the mud and get it all dirty and park it in the garage, and then for some reason, it seems like it loses its value. But you take the time to say, you know something? I'm going to spend the day cleaning this thing up. And then you take it out and wash it, and then you say, oh, you know, I'm going to put a little wax on it. You wax it, and then don't do like I do. My wife fussed at me all the time. I clean the outside. We say, did you clean the inside? But then when you do these things, you look back and say, man, that thing still look good. I like this car. And you place a value on it, and then you begin to appreciate it because you place value on it. All right? You in 2 Samuel yet? Okay, let's 2 Samuel. But the people answered, well, let me prelude this a little bit. David's son Absalom came against him and was trying to steal the kingdom from under his father. And so David was not there. He didn't want to fight against his own son. See, people got in his son's head and they messed with him, you see. And so what happened was David was making a strategy, you know, to fight against, because Absalom had created an army. And he told his three men, you know, one, you take a third of this part, you take a third of the part, and then I'm going to go with you. Now, watch what these men did. Now, but the people, talking about his men, answered, thou shalt not go forth. For if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither is half of us die, will they care for us. But now, thou art worth, underline this in your Bible, thou art worth 10,000 of us. I said, whoa. They told their king that we can't place a value on you. That's what they were saying. You were 10,000 of us. I said, my God, that's the closest to my understanding that I can get to place a value on our apostle, on my apostle. He were 10,000 of us. Yes, that's valuable to me. They were saying, David, if we let you die in war, man, you're the one that keep us together. You're the one that fight for us. You're the one give us our instructions, and you're the one that defining our destiny for us. You're the one going to bring us to our inheritance. How can we place a value on you? If we die, this thing is going to, I mean, but if you die, we can't afford to. We got to take care of you. But that's the closest my understanding can get to putting a value on my apostle. See, we're 10,000 of us. You see? And you got to see it like that. You see? You got to see it like that. Now, listen to this. If you don't understand, you cannot obey. That's one poor thing about understanding. If you can't understand something, you're not going to obey. And so sometimes I think that's a lot to do with our obedience sometimes. You know, whether, you know, sometimes apostle asks us to do certain things and sometimes we don't always comply willingly. But one reason, maybe because we don't quite understand what God is trying to do to us and for us through our apostle. Maybe if we make an effort to understand, I need to understand what the apostle is doing. I need to understand what the apostle is saying. I need to understand where the apostle is trying to take us. I need to understand what the Spirit of God is doing in him, through him, for us. I need to understand it. Because you can't really obey When I say obey, I don't want to just use that word, throw it out, obey. When you willingly obey, see, that would make the difference. There has to be a willingness in it. A willingness in it make all the difference in the world. Now, watch this next statement. What God wants in the earth is his will to be done through me or through you. That's what God wants. What God wants in the earth is his will to be done through you, through us. You see, that's what God wants. That's his will. We pray now for the prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You see, now watch, let me stop right there. See, thy will be done. That's the sovereignty of God's will right there. God said, my will be done. One way or another. Now that's God talk. That's Jesus talking God's language. Thy will be done. One way or another. Whether I use you or use somebody else. My will be done. But what God wants is that his will be done through us. God don't have to use somebody else. God don't have to use the church down the street. God want to use us. And God has put us in a specific, like Brother Larry said, a specific vision that's going to bring in the result of what God wants. This is what God wants. But he wants to do it through us. And guess what? It will be done. One way or another. You hear what I say? But I'm willing to say, and I bet if I was asked each one of us to stand up individually and ask us, how did you get here? How did you get here? I bet it's some supernatural orchestration. I bet it wasn't ordinary. God got us here some kind of way. And I bet all of us can pinpoint how you got there. Some of us think we got here by accident, but we didn't. I'm sitting in the Catholic Church and been out all night long. I didn't want to say that, but it's true. I can't step in lie. And I was, oh look, I don't want to put myself down too bad. But that morning, when I came in, the same morning I went to church, I couldn't even put the key in the door. I'm going to leave it at that. I went to church because I had religion things on my mind. My wife and I went to church. And I'm sitting in the church. I'm trying to show you supernatural how God got me here. And I know all of us got a testimony. We had time to share it, how God got you here. And so what happened was, I'm sitting in church. I said, Lord, I'm tired. And, you know, I've never been unfaithful to my wife in 47 years. Too late to start now. The reason I say that because I've been out all night. And sometimes people think you all night you was on a flight. But no, I remain faithful to this woman all my life. And I credit that to apostolic. I credit that to apostle. I watched him and Miss Callan all these years. And God called me early in my marriage. You see? But anyway, I'm sitting in church. I said, God, I'm tired. I'm tired doing this. You know? And so, you know, coming home, I didn't do that every weekend. But this particular time, I was out with my brother. And we didn't know when to stop drinking. Yep, Ben, Mr. Meyer didn't know. And he said, my brother, he's dead and going to be with the Lord. He said, Ronald, he said, I said, man, look what time it is. And he said, you can drive home? I said, yeah, I can drive home. But when I stood up, everything I saw was two. I saw two of everything. Let me tell you how crazy it was. I'm driving home, and a car come in, I saw two headlights. I said, I know I'm going to ride right in the middle of them. Isn't that crazy? That's how crazy we are without Jesus. We don't realize it. But anyway, I'm sitting down in the church, still kind of messed up, you know. But I'm under conviction. I said, Lord, you know, I'm tired. I said, what's my job as a Christian if I am a Christian? And I never heard the Lord's voice before. And so I had to hear people used to say, the Lord said that. Some people lying. The Lord ain't say that. Right. I never really thought God talked to people. That was my understanding, a young boy. And so this time, I said, Lord, what's my job as a Christian? And I heard a voice, and I'm thinking about what Brother Calhoun said about the voice of God. I didn't know the voice of God, almost like Samuel was with Eli. But the voice said, tell somebody about Jesus. I'm talking about 40-something years ago. And you know, you have somebody ever punch you in the belly and you lose the wind? The Lord spoke right after. I couldn't answer that because when you say, tell somebody about Jesus, I had to put these empty words out. Because like he was expecting the answer. And I said this. I said, Lord, I don't know nothing about Jesus. Wow. And that was the ultimate. Tell somebody about Jesus. And I said, Lord, I don't know nothing about Jesus. I knew of him. How many of us knew of him? But I didn't really know him. But I had a brother called Donald. Ronald Donald. People thought we were twins. But Donald was 2 years older than me. And I used to run from him. He always wanted to tell me about Jesus. I wouldn't even want to hear about your Jesus. And this time I go looking for him. So I'm talking about supernatural now. Yeah. I'm about to move on. But because everybody got a testimony, how'd you got here? Yeah. And I said, Donna, tell me about Jesus. Teach me about Jesus. That's what I told him. And I was sincerely desiring to know about Jesus. And he began to take me on his arm. He was going to a different church, and he just happened to work with Reverend Leroy Thompson. Isn't that coincidental? And that's one of the church he brought me to. You know, and I'm sitting in Mount Zion in the pew one Wednesday night. I'm sitting on the outside, almost like with Brother Freddie, about three or four rows back. And Apostle stopped teaching. He said, I got one girlfriend and one wife, they're both the same person. I said, man, can't be telling the truth. Because every preacher I knew, what? Had a girlfriend. The one I knew. Now, so I kept going. And I found out, almost 44 years later, the same man. You see, how can you put a value on that? Been holy. My goodness, I'm about to lose it. You don't know what that man did for my life. Can't see my nose. Now, let me go on. Now, listen at this. We have to understand, right? That's what I said. The will of God. Colossians 1:9 says, for this cause, Apostle Paul prayed his prayer. Since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see that? He said he prayed that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and all spiritual understanding. So what he's saying there? He's saying that you have to have the understanding of the knowledge and the will of God, but it has to be through spiritual understanding. Natural understanding is not going to get you here. And that's the problem. We're trying to serve God and follow God with natural understanding. And you missed out on what God wants for us. And what God's will is. And where God wants to take us, because we tried to put it on human level. And God said, my will is not on human level. It's not. It's on spiritual level. You can't. You got to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. You can't compare spiritual things otherwise, because you're going to lose out. You're not going to stand it, and God can't take it to the next level. So, now watch this now. Ephesians 5 and 17 says, wherefore, be ye not unwise. See, I keep showing that word understanding. Underline that word. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I'm going to go back to a statement I made earlier about the Holy Ghost navigating us through this traffic. And when navigate through the traffic, one of the things we talk about was understanding. You have to have spiritual understanding, or you're not going to be able to go there. That's why we pray Ephesians 1 and 17 to 22, that the eyes of our what?
Understanding.
We'll be enlightened. We got to understand. If you don't understand, you can't go there. And that's why we got to pray for understanding. Lord, give me some understanding what you're trying to do, where you're trying to take push light, where you're trying to take me. Because I want to go where you want to take me. Apostle trying to take us where God wants us to go. Apostle trying to take us there. But you can't take it if you don't want to go. You can't take it if you don't want to go. Now, let me move on. Now watch. I got to get somewhere. Listen to this. God's sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent nature permits him to function on our behalf, beyond our natural understanding. I'm going to say that one more time. God's sovereign, remember we explained what sovereign is, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent nature permits him to function on our behalf beyond our natural understanding. In other words, that nature or sovereign nature of God permits them to function on our behalf in ways that we don't understand. That's why we encounter these supernatural experience, because you wouldn't understand it no otherwise. Just like that testimony I gave you in how God supernatural orchestrate how he got me here. How he supernaturally orchestrated how he got you here. And then, but he had to go beyond your natural understanding, because you would have messed it up. So he had to He had to configure it. He had to use his omnipotence to be able to strategize it and put somebody in your way that you didn't know that you were going to meet that day, and put an experience in your life and that you just couldn't understand. And all of a sudden, you're here. And you think about it, I don't know how I got here, but God got me here. Supernaturally. A friend of a friend of a friend told me. Somebody called me. I put the TV on, and all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me too. That's where you need to be. I like what Brother Greg said when he came to Word of Life. You knew that's where you were supposed to be. I'm telling you, this is supernatural. And now, God has gathered us all together here. A family. We're a family. A local body. And now he wants to strategize through apostle how he's going to cause this vision to function. He's working through the members. You see it? And he's working corporately. And you got to be able to see. But if you don't pray for insight, pray for understanding, you know, I think I talked about a train, a movie I watched, Runaway Train. I'm going to tell the story again. It was a good movie. I don't know if Denzel was in it or what, but this man was running a locomotive. He was the director. It might be, I don't. Anyway, let me tell you. I don't know if anybody knows anything about trans locomotive, but he had about 40 cars on the back of the engine. All right, and if you know anything, you got to thrust that throttle all the way full to get the engine to start to pull in it. And you're wide open. And the train like it ain't moving. But the engine wide open until it starts getting some momentum, but it takes that thrust, just like an airplane take off. You know, when you take off, they got to pull that throttle back. Because you're wide open, you'd be driving, flying 1,000 miles an hour. But this train, with all the cars, he had to push the throttle all the way. So with his limited experience, he thought he can jump off the engine, go switch the track, because it was moving slow. Sometimes the vision looked like it moving slow. Now, and then moving slow, he jumped off. And after he jumped off, you know, he had trouble with the switch. It wouldn't switch. But the train's still moving. And by that time, the RPM is kicking in. And by the time you got it switched, guess what? The train was running too fast to get back on. Now, let me give you an interpretation of that. That's an interpretation. You want it? Here's the interpretation. The vision is moving. You can get off and play around for a little bit. I ain't going to prayer. I'm tired. I ain't going to win tonight. All these special meetings, I just watch it on TV. But the vision moving. And what's going to happen, it's going to start moving so fast, you're going to try to get on, and you're going to have a runaway train. Is that true? You may be seated. You know, I never had to say that before. It's the truth. But apostle is taking us somewhere. And sometimes he came through his wisdom and through God's wisdom, he can't move it too fast because he went to we catch up. He went to our understanding had to be implemented. Spiritual understanding. Lord, help me to understand what I understand. Help me to see what I can't. That's my prayer. I pray it all the time. Help me to see what I can't see by myself. My goodness. Now I'm gonna show you what happened here. I'm gonna show you what happened. The apostolic government gave direction to the church and revealed through revelation God's plan and future for his church. I need to read that again. The apostolic government, that's what the apostle is doing, give us direction to the church and reveals through the revelation God's plan and future for the church. You see, we apostolic, I like what apostles say, but we may not be apostle, but we apostolic. We're an apostolic church. And because of the apostolic church, apostle being the visionary, we don't always see everything he sees. But he sees what God's showing him, but now his job is to, I've got to reveal this to God's people in a way that they can understand. You see? And that's why he spent hours and hours and hours in prayer and study to be able to get the wisdom of God, to be able to show us and to share with us the things that God wants us to know. You can't go if you don't understand. That's why understanding is so important. You know, if you can only see how bad he wants us to know it, if you only knew how bad he wants us to get it, you see? And he's trying to take us through all this traffic. You see, we deal with all kinds of stuff on a daily basis. We deal with different people on a daily basis. And all these people with influence and ideas, if you don't watch your spirit, you don't watch your soul, they'll contaminate you. They'll contaminate you. And I'm not letting nobody, I like what Brother Gray said, and I say this, and I've said this, and I've been doing it for 44 years. Now, everybody might have their own opinion, like he said, but I don't follow no other ministry. I don't listen. If I listen to somebody, it's something somebody apostle might make mention of. But my focus is right here. Amen. I keep my eyes on where I am because I don't want nobody to pull me from the vision here. Nobody gonna pull me from the vision. You see it? Now, let me go on. Because I got something I need to say. I'm almost there. Now, listen to this. Now, you know he's been preaching on Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, right? I'm not going through all of it, but Ephesians 4, 11, 12 said, and he gave some apostles. Why did God give all these gifts to the church? He gave, I'm going to tell you, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, it asks the question, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Then you go on and on. He said that for a reason. Because even though we're apostolic, we don't have to be all apostles. Now they got this thing going on. Everybody want to be an apostle. Man, everybody see it. Apostles too. I said, man. See, that's some of the traffic we got to go through. They get stuck on these titles and God ain't entitled them. But God told apostles, I called you to be an apostle. I called you to be a prophet. You see it? And nobody else called him. Nobody gave him an honorary apostleship. Nobody said, you look like an apostle. No, God called. And then you have all the proofs and the signs of an apostle. Now, watch this. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to do what? For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry. See, we have a ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, let me make this statement. Except our minds become renewed with the word of God, it is impossible for us to yield to God's will, and we will remain self-willed and sense-ruled being. Oh, I got to read that again. Listen at this. Listen. Except our minds be renewed with the word of God, it is impossible for us to yield to God's will, and we will remain self-willed and sense-ruled being. Now, self-will, I'm going to explain that. I got a few minutes. I got a few minutes. I ain't going to tell you how much time I got. But I got to explain self-will because that's a satanic principle. You see, I've taught spiritual authority. Apostle put that book in my hand, over 20-something, 30 years ago. And I never got out of it. I never stopped studying it. I've been studying it for a long time because I want to know how to serve properly. I want to know how to be a servant. And I want to know how to respect my spiritual leader and my spiritual authority so I can be of some kind of a benefit to him. You see, we want to be a benefit. We want to benefit our spiritual leader, our pastor. And so I found out that self-will was a satanic principle. Satan originated that principle. I think it's one of the Ezekiel, Isaiah, one of those books. He kept saying, I will exalt my throne, I will. Five times, Satan used the word, I will. And he put his will above God. And that created the principle of self-will. And so that principle fell upon fallen man. I'm going to go into a little bit more. But that principle is destroying a lot of people in the body of Christ. Because they're functioning in a satanic principle and don't know it. Now, let me make this statement. Then I'm going to go on to the deception in the garden. That was deception made in the garden. We are privileged to execute God's plans upon the earth. See, It's a privilege. It's an honor to execute, to be able to execute God's plan upon the earth. I mean, we as individuals. You know, I see people are getting stirred up about the Witnessing app. And, you know, and I found out that once you cross that hurdle and breaking that back of fear, a boldness come upon you, and so you're not conscious, self-conscious of what people think of you, of how you feel, or what the person goes respond. I just don't care. All I care about is, are you born again? And then between them and God after that. That decision made between them and God. I asked, are you born again? And some of them say, they say, yeah, but they're just trying to say something just to appease you. I said, you know what born again means? And then you question me, you get a little bolder. And I said, I said, if you don't know, let me explain to you what being born again is. And then you follow through. And most of the time, 9 times out of 10, they'll pray with you. And then you get to a place where I just don't care what they think no more. I don't care how they feel when I leave. I know I did the will of God. If they say no, their blood is not on me. I don't want nobody's blood to be on me. I missed it a few times. I passed people, and I know I was supposed to witness to them, but I let my head get in the way. And I didn't obey all the time. Then after that, I said, Lord, I repent. I knew I should have said something. But my point is this. It's a privilege to do the will of God. Now, let me get to the Garden of Eden now. I'm almost through. Satan, listen to this statement though. Satan knows that if he could have gotten control of Eve's mind, listen, he could also get control of her will. Satan knew that if he could have gotten control of Eve's mind, see, he got into Eve's mind. He know he can get control of her will because he had to get her over in the sense realm. You see, there was spiritual being made in the likeness of God, but Satan had to get Eve in the sensory realm, the touch, and the taste realm. It's good for the eyes. It looked good to the eyes, and you know, it took her out of the realm of the spirit. That was Satan want to do with us. He want to take us out of the realm of the spirit to get us on natural playing ground. And once he gets you on natural grounds, then he gets you into a word called reasoning. And then reasoning give us place to make excuses. Well, I did that because of this. I'm not going to do that because of this. And now I've got a choice, you see it? And once I got a choice, then Satan goes try to relate that more to the flesh side than to the spirit. You see? Now, let me tell you what happened to God now. Now, God, listen to this. God never infringes upon us the exercise of free will. In his sovereignty, he never infringes upon us the exercise of free will. He respects that. And he don't. Our great omniscient God, all powerful, all present, everywhere at the same time, respect our will. Don't tamper with our will. It seems almost mind-blowing. God can do all kinds of things, create the heaven and the earth, create man from the dust of the ground, but yet he ain't going to touch your will. God said, I gave you everything, and except I'm not going to take control of your will. So, you're free to choose. Isn't that something? You're free to choose. I'm not making you robots. You can choose. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Joshua said, after me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, why do? This is a four-word statement. Satan wants our will. That's what he's after. He wants your will. It was only when Eve moved from the spirit realm to the sense realm that Satan was able to influence her will. And through the sense realm, she yielded her will to him. Wow. Through her sense realm, she yielded her will to Satan. And when she did that, she became self-will, self-preservation. Looking out for me first, what I want. Before, it was God's will. But Satan moved us into that satanic will that came with the fall. I will. It's all about what I want, what I want, what I want, what I want. Think about it. Satan had created selfish people. That was the old statement. Always look out for number one. Yeah. And that's the satanic principle. Always looking out for number one. And that principle has infiltrated the body of Christ and trying to destroy the will of God from being done upon the earth. Isn't that something? Yes. Now, watch this. I'm almost through. He created a new principle called self-will, and from that day forward, man's desire was self-preservation. Self-preservation. That's why it's so easy, you know, apostle preacher on money coming. That's why it's so easy to go into the realm of survival. You know, it's easy to go into survival. Well, if this don't work, I'm gonna do that. This don't work, I'm gonna do that. If this don't work, I'm gonna do that. Because that's self-preservation. You see, I'm gonna survive me. And then you leave God out. Trying to do it on your own when God has devised a way for us to prosper. God has devised a way to be healed. God has provided a way. You see it? But we get out of God's plan and find our own plan, our own remedy, our own self-fix. Fix. Self-help. That's what we call it. Self-help. We can fix it ourselves. I got this. I got it. And God standing by with all his angels, legions of angels waiting on us, Holy Spirit waiting on us, heaven waiting on us. Say, I sure would you just come to me. All ye that labor and heavy laden, Jesus said, come unto me. And I give you what? Rest. I give you rest. Now, listen to this. I got to put this one in. Whenever we choose to live by God's word, his eternal law provide for our total protection and well-being. God's eternal word, which is his rhema word, is his will. He provides for our total protection and total well-being when we will our will to him. Now, why this? We have not been able to fully understand our own design, our threefold nature. I got one more statement, then I'm going to close. If we place our reliance on ourselves, I'm going to read this real slow. And so you might want to get this down here. If we place our reliance upon ourselves, we are bound to make mistakes. I'm going to say it again. If we place our reliance upon ourselves, we are bound to make mistakes, make wrong choices, and wrong turns, and complicate the simplicity of obeying God, who knows all things and wants the best for his children. Wow. I'm going to read that one more time. If we place our reliance upon ourselves. It's so easy to do that. We are bound to make mistakes and to make wrong choices and wrong turns and complicate the simplicity of obeying God, who knows all things and wants the best for his children. God wants the best for his children. And I'm going to repeat this statement. Apostle want to take us to places we've never been before. So to take us to places we've never been before, we got to hear things we never heard before. And when you hear things, Jesus always said, hear and understand. I wonder why Jesus said that. Not only hear, but understand what you're hearing. And once you put those two things together, God is able to put us into the realm of following him like he wants to do it. And he make, I almost say make God's job easier. But it make apostle's job easier. And then it make our job easier. You know, and so I'm going to close with one scripture. Jeremiah 29:11 in the Message Bible. Look what it says in the Message Bible. This is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon 70 years are up, now the day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. God said, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plan to take care of you, not abandon you. Plan to give you the future you hope for. Amen. That was the apostle trying to do. Father, we thank you so much. We praise you. We glorify you. We honor you. And we magnify your holy, holy name. Thank you, Lord. I hope y'all got something. Because I asked the Lord, let me stick with my outline, and he did. And I hope I said something that was beneficial.